Broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman live on your radio. Hard-hitting news that networks refuse to use, no doubt, continues now. This is the broadcast for June 13th in the year of our Lord, 2022. This is hour two of two, and the goal is to promote God, family, and country, and to protect life, liberty, and property. And we do so via the checks and balances that made America great. And we, the people getting involved like nobody's business, standing up for moral issues in the culture war. And best of all, we have the supreme law of the land, the Constitution for the United States of America. I believe it's akin to scripture when it comes to the political reality of America. We need to return to these principles of our founding fathers. We need to return to the checks and balances that made America great. We need to return to the supreme law of the land, the Constitution. Welcome to the broadcast. That is the solution. God, family, and country. Always has been, always will be. Anybody else that wants to build a better mousetrap to your door, don't fall for the lie. The only way is to turn to God and family. Country will take care of itself if people are taught proper principles and are self-governed. Welcome to the broadcast. Dr. Scott Bradley's with me. Hope you had a delightful weekend, sir, and welcome back. We'll try to get a hold of Dr. Scott Bradley here in just a second.
We're here. Yeah, we're
all
here.
Oh, hi, Scott. Welcome,
hey.
Doctor.
Well, thank you. I'm just a little slow on the draw here. I'd have probably been in dead in the middle of the street after the high noon get together. No, we got a lovely drenching rain going on in my neck of the woods. Everybody seems to be a little cooled off from some of the warm weather we had last week, and I think we're off to a good start this week.
Amen to that, and we certainly have a need for the rain as well, so we welcome it, ladies and gentlemen. I would like it to rain. The perfect scenario for me would be if it rained every night just a little bit and let the ground soak it all up, not too much all at once, but every night so it didn't affect my daytime interactions. That would be a perfect scenario, wouldn't it, Doctor?
Well, it would be wonderful. It would keep the grass green and the flowers just kind of fresh and nice. It's interesting to me that the socialists that run our local community even, It's really, we have had adequate moisture this year. I mean, it hasn't been a heavy snowfall and everything, but there's been adequate, and we have good for irrigation and for all the uses that we have water for. But they've already implemented in my community water rationing, and it's like, no, wait. So what are you doing with this? It's flowing out of the valley, down the river, it's gone, and you're telling us we can't use it here. And it's like, oh no, everybody else is having water rationing, and so out of sympathy, I guess, or empathy or something, suddenly they're just, it's like they have to have this scarcity mentality. And that's kind of where I think we are in the world today. You know, in the founding fathers era, in fact, in my book I've got a chapter on the Founding Fathers' educational precepts, and I compare and contrast that with what we've got in today's world. You know, the founders had an abundance mentality. They thought God was a loving God. There was a plan. There was a creator, and God was watching out for us. And in recent decades, and for the last 100 years, basically, what the American educational system has been a scarcity education system. It's been a chaos. You know, the Big Bang Theory, everything blew up and we came out of it, you know, instead of having a finely tuned creative process that everything has a purpose and all that kind of stuff. Like, for example, our immune systems. Oh, ain't it awful? We're all going to die because the next germ comes on or whatever. But during all of mortality, there has been a system. And the system's as broad and wide as the universe, and it's as infinitely small as every created element on the earth. And it's all fitly formed. The Founding Fathers believed that. Americans today have been bred into this idea that there's a scarcity. We're all going to die. We're on the very verge of destruction every moment. And
well, let me give you an example of that scarcity that they use, the Hegelian dialectic. They use that fear factor to go ahead and, you know, look, back in the 70s, I remember as a little teeny kid, you know, they had this energy scenario where, oh my gosh, we're out of oil. We're just flat out out of oil, ladies and gentlemen. It's horrible. And so then they said you got to have rationing on your gas pump. So if you had an even or an odd license plate, then you could go ahead on the even and odd days or whatever, get your gas. And everybody couldn't get gas at once. There was massive gas lines and massive inflation right around the corner that related to it and everything else. And what they did was they put the energy department in place at that time. And they said, hey, we're going to go ahead and fix this. Well, and now look, literally 50 years later, no one's saying there's an oil shortage. They're just saying, hey, the Russians, and that's a problem. And there's inflation because of supply and demand because of the COVID. And they go on and on and on about this. But no one's telling you about the scarcity of oil 50 years later. In fact, we've found more oil we can create, but yet we're now environmentally shut down from even accessing the oil that we know is available in there. So this just shows how they use this to grow government all on a big lie. What has the energy department done in the last 50 years since it was created to go ahead and deal with this issue? Not that I expect government to solve the problem. My point is that's what they claimed would solve the problem. But now we find out 50 years later, we don't have near the oil shortage they told us we had then. They just lied. And they created this scarcity mentality, and they use that to grow government like they always do. The pattern has not changed, Doctor.
Indeed, it has not. And it's we can look at every aspect of society. I mean, we have created the best enemies money can buy, certainly and entirely during the 20th century. I mean, the Soviet Union would have folded in the 30s had we not intervened. Communist China never would have existed had the State Department not turned all of the arms that were surrendered by the Japanese after World War II to Chairman Mao. The idea that we have an environmental problem, you know, you talk about the oil shortage. I would be so bold as to suggest that in God's great plan, oil is probably a renewable resource that is being created within the earth. I don't know how. I'm not a scientist. But I really truly believe that what we've discovered since the 70s that you so eloquently brought up is that we have an abundance of oil. And Utah, for example, probably has at least 300 years of coal for all coal-fired plants. And now we're kind of shifting that to say, oh, but our carbon footprint, oh my goodness, the air we're breathing is going to be horrid. Well, I suspect that most of our environmental challenges come from other aspects that are being kind of honed and polished nowadays to make us all feel a little more at risk. So, yeah, we create our own enemies, our own bugaboos, and then we play them up, and then we create a government solution, quote-unquote, for them that really doesn't positively affect it. I mean, you talk about the energy department or the education department. Oh, my goodness, we could spend a long time talking about the education department and what a disaster that has been since it was created and how it has not improved one iota, not one shred. In fact, it's been it's been in reverse. You know, we used to have the most highly educated people in the world. We had people, the literacy rate was amazing, be over the top, nearing 100%. And we change all of the, a paradigm is a set of rules, not just two coins to rub together. A paradigm is a set of rules. We change all the paradigms. And back in the 60s, I remember we used to say prayers every morning in school and the pledge and God was part of school. Then the Supreme Court comes along and without any real precedent bans God from school. And
let's be clear, not only without any precedent, but without any real authority either.
Well, exactly. So there's no question about that. But here they come along. And if you look back, you know, when I was young, you know, your standard testing scores without having to norm them, which means nowadays, because they're falling so far, these scores that are happening on standardized tests, they have to say, well, we have to relook at how these are being done. Some people don't test well or whatever. They use a lot of excuses. And pretty soon the standard is falling off the cliff. And so they have a reporting factor that says, oh, yeah, we've got really good scores in the schools. Most kids couldn't find their behinds with both hands at the same time, okay? And that's, I put it gently. But the fact of the matter is we have, since we've banned God from school, our the all the good things that were happening before. Teen pregnancies were coming down. The violence in schools was coming down. Standardized scores were going up. The bad things were going down. The good things were going up. That's flipped now. The bad things are going up. The good things are going down. And it's because of a government-created problem. And like I say, we create the best enemies money can buy in every aspect, and then we create a government program. Of course, it always includes bigger government. It always includes great gulps of usurpation. And yet, and still, what we have here is a worsening scenario. Oh, ain't it awful? We're all going to die. And what we've done, we've abandoned the formula that was in place for, you know, nearly 200 years, and it had such a great effect. And I'm telling you, I think we can compare and contrast. That's how I like to teach. I teach Marx's Communist Manifesto, and not as an advocate of it, but as to show what Marx is. And then I compare and contrast that with what the Americanist philosophies are that made this nation everything that we all cherish. And so, yeah, we need to understand Darwinism and his chaotic program. But we need to understand the creation model that includes a divine creator that loves us and wants us to succeed. And I think people will make good choices.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, let's talk about it. We're going to compare and contrast. There's more transgender youth in America than ever. But in which states and why? We'll talk about it on your radio.
There has been no evidence of widespread voter fraud.
The 2020 elections were one of the most corrupt in history. See the proof for yourself.
We tracked 2,000 mules making multiple ballot drops.
2,000 mules. The shocking new movie from Dinesh D'Souza.
One mule made 53 trips to 20 drop boxes.
2,000 mules. Join the special virtual premiere and Q&A on May 7th. Get your tickets now. Available only at 2000mules.com. 2000mules.com. Sponsored by Salem Media Group.
Small Business Tech Guys is a team of experts ready to assist you with any service relating to growing your business. Our team specializes in information and technology, social media, general consulting, and HR. We thrive on assisting startup entrepreneurs with growing their businesses. If it's small business, it's our cup of tea. To schedule your free discovery call today, consider sbtechguys.com. We keep an eye on tech, so you don't have to. sbtechguys.com.
Abby Johnson was once director of a Planned Parenthood clinic in Bryan, Texas. After a moral crisis, she quit, and now she campaigns against what she once endorsed.
They implement abortion quotas in all of their clinics.
What do you mean, quotas?
You have to perform a certain number of abortions every month. One of the reasons that I left...
Are they explicit about that?
Yes. It's in your budget, right there on the line item. One of the reasons I left Planned Parenthood was because in a budget meeting, I was told to double that abortion quota. And for me, as someone who had spoken to the media and had said, you know, we're about reducing the number of abortions, we're about, you know, prevention, all of these other services, I was shocked.
So since you actually worked at a Planned Parenthood, give us some sense of the relative number of abortions.
Okay. Abortions, Planned Parenthood provides over 330,000 abortions a year. They are the largest single abortion provider in our country.
Ladies and gentlemen, the propaganda from your government in bed with the media is what we're kind of discussing here. The United States has more transgender youth than ever. So you got to ask, in which states is it the highest and why? To flatly say there could not be any social influence flies in the face of reality. WND.com with the article. All right. Now, listen, nearly half of the 1.6 million Americans who identify as transgender, most of them are teenagers or young adults. Nearly half of them are in that small window age group, if you will. Some of the highest are in blue states, as well, ladies and gentlemen. That's according to a new study. Now, I'm not fond of using the blue state, red state, because that's Democrat versus Republican, but what we're talking about is liberal versus conservative states. Now, there's a new study that came out that's documenting this in detail, WorldNet Daily with the reporting on this. The study was conducted, though, by the University of California, Los Angeles, Williams Institute. And it found that transgenderism is very different amongst the different states. Take New York at 3%, compared to roughly 0.6% in Wyoming, to highlight. Okay? Now, they say this has doubled in the rates of youth since the last estimate, but transgenderism with the adult population has not increased at all, according to the study. So the states with the highest purporting of transgender youth were Democrat-led and generally much more permissive in the classroom on gender instruction, identity, and et cetera, et cetera. And so the bottom line of the study is, hey, the U.S. has more transgendered youth than ever, and you got to ask why. Nearly half of the 1.6 million Americans who identify as transgender are teenagers or young adults. Well, they're the ones being targeted in government schools. So here's the next headline. This headline from the mainstream press. New York City schools spent over $200,000 on drag queen shows. Did you know that, ladies and gentlemen? Think about that. The number's shocking. But you could see that when they teach this in government school, when then the youth influence one another on social media, you put that together, and it's a formula for changing or propagandizing with false information about gender a whole generation, Dr. Bradley.
Man, there's so, as I often say to you, Sam, you've got a lot of strings out there for me to pull on, and to limit them to the amount of time we have, let's just start throwing some things out there. You know, it's a kind of a well-known fact that teenage years are the angst years in many instances where confusion reigns. So you take a little bit of a confused mind or a person finding their way, and you feed that fire with a biased reporting system, not just reporting system, an educational system. It's kind of a truism. If you subsidize something, you tend to get more of it. And so what the educational system, what our media system, what our politicians, what our churches, honestly, if you stop and think about it, the churches are welcoming these transgender youth. We're so glad you're among us and everything. Fact of the matter is, the studies that have been done, like, for example, in the Netherlands, that has the most permissive view on so many of these things, have found that by encouraging and facilitating and sympathizing, you don't diminish the amount of disturbing issues that that cause the, I mean, suicides. I mean, I don't know how to put it other than that. The attempted suicides and so on, they're not improved by the way they pass laws and they embrace these kinds of things. You know, giving someone a solid foundation, hope, future, and, you know, you can make this work. When you talk to people that are in these kinds of environments, they often say, I don't know why I'm like I am. I wished I wasn't. Well, quit encouraging them to do that then. And when you look at, I don't know, I'd be interesting to see what your study says about Massachusetts, for example. You know, when Mitt Romney, who's currently junior senator in Utah, was governor in Massachusetts, the Supreme Court there had a case before it in which they said, no, the legislature needs to address same-sex issues. It's not our choice to do this. It's the legislature that should. Well, Mitt Romney, without any precedent, any authority, or anything like that, by executive order, declared Massachusetts a same-sex marriage kind of state, and declared that all those that could perform marriages in Massachusetts now hereby, yea, verily, go forward and do it. And so Massachusetts adopted a what would be considered by in the vernacular of the day a very liberal perspective about this. And they started teaching it in their schools. they started encouraging. They started, you know, kind of giving this balanced, if they call it that way, view, where every kind of relationship was of equal value, and we shouldn't demean or in any way diminish any of those things. And what has happened in the school system there has been atrocious. I cannot imagine why anyone in the state of Massachusetts would allow their child to go to a public education setting. And, in fact, just get out of Massachusetts. I mean, taxes and everything else are whacked. But that's happening all across America now. You could say Mitt Romney's the godfather of same-sex marriage in the United States by his declaration in Massachusetts as the governor. And so what's happening is this wave is sweeping across America, this confusion that seems to hold sway, that has a lot of angst, if you will. The people that are involved in these kinds of things are confused oftentimes. They're unhappy. They have a facade of kind of giddiness sometimes. But the fact of the matter is, in quiet, reflective moments that you talk to a lot of these people, they say, I don't know why I am this way. I don't want to be. I wish God hadn't made me this way or whatever. They have all sorts of discussions like that. And I've been in those discussions. And I really, truly believe it's because of the emphasis that is being placed on this, the permission that is being given, the questioning. Oh, now maybe you're kind of attracted same-sex. Maybe you're transgender. Maybe you're kind of asexual. Maybe you're, wait. The big plan we talked about at the beginning of your program here, Sam, is that there is a plan. There is a creator. There is a system. And it works. It works by design. And if we emphasize that system, that design, that loving, caring, fatherly, if you will, God that cares about his children and wants us to succeed and to be happy, well, I think we'll get more of that. And I think we were getting more of that until we changed and became kind of this demented society where we throw anything out, it's acceptable to everybody, and we've all got to accept it, or somehow we're bigoted. And by golly, we're finding more and more and more and more people are becoming more and more and more and more confused and have a lot more challenges in their lives because they know in their heart of hearts, man, this is a tough way to go. And I feel for people like that. I just, my heart goes out to them. But we don't encourage it by bringing them into the mainstream. We help them with the understanding of what the big picture really is and how it all fits together. And I think we can fix this if we will. But if we don't, I think we're going to get more and more and more and more of this messed up sexual status stuff and this confusion that is causing so many challenges. I run across, I had a discussion just yesterday with an ecclesiastical leader that the youth of today are struggling. There's so much hopelessness in so many of the youth. And, of course, this nihilistic perspective on we're all going to die, it's all horrible, it's all confusion, it's all mess. It's been encouraged on steroids this past couple of years because, you know, by golly, this is hopelessness. These diseases that are out there are just going to engulf us and devour us. And we've kind of imbued and endowed the children and the youth of the day with that hopelessness, and they've given up. And it really is sad. The word is really the good news, the gospel. The good news is that God's purposes and plan are all magnificent, and we need to find a way to make that the emphasis of our lives rather than the nihilistic, Hegelian confusion that seems to reign in today's world.
You got to get your kids out of the government schools, ladies and gentlemen. More in seconds with Dr. Scott Bradley on Liberty Roundtable Live.
Exposing corruption, informing citizens, pursuing liberty. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
USA Radio News with Lance Pry.
President Biden plans to visit the Middle East in July. Biden is expected to visit Israel and the Palestinian Authority on July 14th and 15th before traveling to Saudi Arabia. Washington, D.C. is bracing for renewed violence as the Supreme Court may make a decision on Roe v. Wade as soon as today. An attempted murder charge has been brought upon a California man after Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer told the justices at the steps of the Supreme Court they won't know what hit them. End quote. A bill to protect the justices has been stalled by Democrats in the House. Representative Jim Jordan on Fox News.
Their effort to intimidate the United States Supreme Court is so intense that they won't even pass this legislation. Legislation that passed the Senate unanimously. Every Democrat supported that legislation, and they won't bring it up in light of the fact now that we had an assassination attempt on the sitting justice.
USA Radio News.
This story is called The Ugly Truth About Timeshares. If you think you've done your family a favor by buying a timeshare, well, you need my help. Hello, I'm Chuck McDowell, founder and CEO of Wesley Financial Group. 10 years ago, I started helping folks cancel their timeshare. And the process started what's now called the timeshare cancellation industry. Timeshare is the only thing that you can buy that you can't tell me how much it's going to cost or when it's going to end. When you buy a timeshare, you give them a blank check to fill out any amount they want for annual maintenance and assessment fees. Sounds crazy, right? Well, the crazy thing is, this never ends. Stop the insanity today. Call my office now. I guarantee if we can't cancel your timeshare, you'll pay nothing.
Were you lied to when buying a timeshare and want out? Get the facts about timeshare cancellation. Call Wesley now for your free information kit. 800-478-7733. 800-478-7733. 800-478-7733.
Mandatory evacuations are in place after a wildfire expanded in Southern California's Angeles National Forest on Sunday. The Sheep Fire went from 35 acres Sunday morning to 775 acres by the afternoon. Wind is to blame. The fire is only 5% contained. Law enforcement is going door-to-door with mandatory evacuation orders. The fire is northeast of downtown Los Angeles. A group of bipartisan senators have reached a gun safety framework, which means they agree, but the agreement is not on paper yet. It clarifies the definition of a federally licensed arms dealer and cracks down on criminals who illegally evade licensing requirements. It also penalizes people that buy guns for others, supports state crisis intervention orders, and invests in children and families' mental health services. The Buffalo grocery store and Uvalde shootings were done by 18-year-olds. USA Radio News.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, there are so many stories related to this. It is just shocking. It is pervasive. It's everywhere around the nation, ladies and gentlemen. Let me give you a couple of headlines. Dr. Bradley will respond. Check this out. New York City schools spent over $200,000 on drag queen shows for kids. Four elementary schools in Colorado teamed up to promote a, quote, private event that included drag queen story time. That's according to a Facebook post where elementary government school teachers, I guess they encouraged parents, teachers, and students to promote gay pride and funded this event. Now, a Facebook post with the details of concerned parents are how we know all about it. But again, the mainstream press won't report on it, so you got to go to Facebook to get the details. But you can say, well, all the, you know, hey, you can't trust that news source. Yeah, but what about all the other ones? What about the New York teacher spending, or your New York government school spending $200,000? What about this one? Drag queens perform at Iowa High School. Give students pointers. Then there's a video of a drag queen shaking the derriere, which I don't even want to go into. All I'm saying is this is evidence that you see on video. Health insurance giant Kaiser Permanente celebrates sexualized men in dresses, reading to kids. Too bad if you don't like Drag Queen Story Hour. WND.com highlights this one. So we're starting to see very few people willing to truly report on this. But you know what? That's all in the government schools. But you know what? Even the churches are now helping with the cause. Headline minister claims Bible must give way to same-sex marriage. He says now people know more about sexuality. Again, WorldNet Daily with that piece too. WorldNet Daily is willing to focus on these stories where others are not. But it's everywhere. It's in your school. It's in your churches. It's now these teens are influencing one another on social media, and they are literally peddling, in my opinion, criminal propaganda. On one hand, they say gender is inconsequential. It's fluid. On the other hand, it requires radical physical surgery to go ahead and completely change your gender. Okay, but it's all one big lie, folks. It goes against God's law, and it goes against scientific reality. But yet everywhere, they're pushing the envelope on this. And they're doing it virtually stealth because the mainstream press, once in a while, something leaks and people get outraged. But for the most part, the press isn't reporting on it. For the most part, this is kept kind of quiet. But it is literally being used in your schools as virtual curriculum. And then followed up via social media by children influencing one another. It's happening, and it's happening all over the country, Dr. Bradley.
You know, it wasn't that long ago that what's going on right now openly in so many environments was called child endangerment. I mean, it was a criminal act. It was bringing perversion to light. Whatever happened to letting children be children, play on the tricky bars and run around the schoolyard and play tag, you know, I mean, holy cow, we have fallen so far. Again, in my day, I mean, how many times have my kids probably heard that and they've been sick of it, and my grandkids? But, you know, you think about it. In my day, the great sins in school were running in the halls, keeping your shirt tail untucked, and chewing gum. And nowadays, we have people, little kids, being murdered in schools. We have a dystopian kind of society that's being created with this, you know, the new morality is simply the old immorality. And, you know, it sounds old-fashioned to talk that way, perhaps, to people that say, oh, that Bradley guy, he's just getting old, whatever. But the fact of the matter is, society was more predictable and more stable. And that was, you know, when you say this thing about the more perfect union in the preamble of the Constitution, and you know the welfare clause that's there, and the welfare clause, if you will, in Article 1, Section 8, Clause 1, where welfare, the way it was used by the American founding fathers, was good government. You know, to be able to create a stable, predictable environment in which society could thrive, where you could get married and have a family, and there would be a kind of a society that raised the kids in. You could start a business and not be have it ruined by ruinous economic measures and false money, printing presses running amok. And we could talk about that in a minute, maybe, if you want. But the idea of destroying the economy economically, or the idea of protecting society from a foreign invasion, preventing domestic you know, confusion and violence because you have justice in the court system. All of these things were the welfare state, if you will, in the days of the founding fathers, a stable, predictable society that you could say, okay, I can go do the best I can in my life. Nowadays, it's just turmoil. It's tumultuous in every way. And, of course, that's always been the Marxist approach to overthrow society, create conflict, create a disruption of the mores, the values, attitudes, and beliefs of society. That's you could go read Marx's works in that little pamphlet. There's so many insightful things that are brought up that we say, oh, I see that happening, if you've got eyes to see and ears to hear and a heart to feel. But we're doing it not just in sexuality, which, you know, we're kind of focused on that right now in terms of the confusion that's going on. But confusion is everywhere. I mentioned money. Did you know in the last 2 years, M1, it's a Federal Reserve measurement tool. M1 is the most liquid of all our money. It's our cash and our checking accounts, if you will. M2 is a little, you know, more long-term kind of thing, CDs and savings and stuff like that. Okay, M1, the supply of money in this most liquid form in the last 2 years has gone from just under $4 trillion. So it's got, I think, 3.93 or something like that. I mean, it's just under $4 trillion in the U.S. economy. In 2 years, it's gone to over $20 trillion. What has happened? We've five times the liquid money supply has been injected into the economy, and we're saying, holy cow, gas is $5 a gallon now. How did that happen? Well, it's because the money is being manipulated. This
yes, that's all true, but it's really because the immorality, though. The melting down of the nation directly follows the jettison of moral values, ladies and gentlemen. Look, understand this, okay? You got these huge companies backing this gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender, whatever agenda. Look, folks, only 1.6 million Americans are transgender, and half of that is the youth. So less than a million people, Dr. Bradley, and they're literally able to change the whole narrative with the media's silence, with corporations doubling down in support. All right. Listen, Story Hour, how drag queens shows for minors have become increasingly common. It started in 2015 in San Francisco. Drag Queen Story Hour, ladies and gentlemen, believe it or not, is an organization that gets money and is funded. And it operates across the United States, bringing drag queens to libraries, schools, and bookstores to read stories to children. Drag Queen Story Hour is coming to a school or a library near you. Okay, look, this is funded. This is an organization. This is an agenda being peddled across the country. The media is primarily silent unless they're forced on an outrage to cover something. But it's happening everywhere. And it's getting more and more and more funded and more influential. And you find out that huge companies are funding this organization, Drag Queen Story Hour. Right? This is serious. And unless we stand up and speak out about it, it's just going to get more. It's going to get worse. And I'm telling you right now, they're going to reach a critical mass. Right now, you think there's 1.6 million. It'll be 20 million before you know it. If we, the people, don't stand up and do something about it, you're subjecting your kids to this without realizing it. Some, it's very blatant in your face, you know, shake your derriere on stage. It's very, in the liberal areas, it's very in your face. But it's very quietly taught. You know, you don't want to discriminate is how it starts. You know, you don't want to judge somebody else. That's how it starts. And eventually what it does is it shifts the moral understanding of a whole generation. And they are going for broke on this, Dr. Bradley.
I understand correctly, and I would love to be proven wrong. But in Pixar, Disney's latest film about that Buzz Lightyear guy, they have a same-sex kiss. And you have some societies, like I think in Saudi Arabia, they said, no, we ain't going to show that film here. But it's not just the educational system. It is the entertainment industry, too. And these guys are immersing us in something. It's the frog in the water. We don't know how hot the water is. We're going to be cooked pretty soon if we don't watch it.
Yeah, let me highlight this when we come back a little bit more because it's critical. And I know Dr. Bradley was talking about the economy. They're absolutely related, ladies and gentlemen. Make no mistake about it. Liberty Roundtable Live.
Why does the left lie constantly? Because they get spiritual power from lying. The lies come from Satan, the father of lies. John 8:44. Here's how the political lying process works. Satan provides the beast with a lie. Then the more they use the lie, the more spiritual power they get. Look, the media is a lie multiplier, and this multiplication gives more evil, spiritual power to the beast, and that can overwhelm and even deceive the body of Christ, especially when the body is being disobedient to the head. The churches today are incorporated, so they're subordinate to human government. They obey the beast and do nothing to restore our national relationship with God. And the government shall be on his shoulders, Isaiah 9:6. That verse is not for the present-day church. Rather, it is for the end-time church, the body of the line of Judah, a message from Christ Kingdom Ministries.
Is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is serious business, and it was not, I repeat, it is not an accident. All right? Do you understand? This is very, very serious, and we really need to have people understand what we're talking about here. This gay agenda, this bisexual transgender agenda is intentionally forced into the American people's minds and hearts and souls. There's a headline that says, "The Gay Agenda Blueprint, a plan to transform America." All right? And they have all, whatever you want to say, put together the guidelines of how they do this. Okay? This isn't something where you can't know, or I'm just saying it, or acting like it's true when it's not. It's absolutely factual of what they're doing, ladies and gentlemen. They have literal steps to their agenda. Okay? You ready for the steps? Let's talk about these steps for a second, shall we? Step one, talk about gays and gayness as loudly and as often as possible. Step two, portray gays as victims, not as aggressive challengers. Give protectors just cause. Make gays look good. Make the victimizers look bad. Solicit funds. The buck stops here. Right? How do we deal with this, folks? What they want you to do, what the mainstream churches and everybody else wants you to do, is just be kind and gentle. Don't take them on, really. You don't want to be a bigot. You don't want to hate anybody. You don't want to. But on that altar, are we making a mistake? Are we letting them with their hostile agenda while we stand idly by and pretend that we're being kind and accepting? And we're being deceived, ladies and gentlemen. Dr. Bradley, let's start there. I don't believe we should be mean or persecute anyone. But what they want you to believe is our silence will let us get along. The problem is these people have an evil agenda they're trying to force on you and me and society at large to change society. And our silence lets them control the narrative, doctor.
Again, many strings to pull on. This idea that it's everywhere, we wrestle not with flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness in the world, against spiritual wickedness in high places, out of Ephesians 6. Many, probably all, are aware of that thing. It is. It's as widespread as possibly can be done. And unless anybody believe that this is a railing against just one particular perversion, I think that the godly perspective is that this procreative power that we've been delegated, granted, blessed with, however you want to put it, in our mortal existence is something that's essential to God's plan. It's something essential to his bringing forth physical bodies for his spirit children so that we might experience a mortal existence and demonstrate probably more to ourselves than anybody else our character and nature. That is something that has been railed against satanically. I mean, there's if you stop and think about it, I mean, you go read 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1 through 7, I guess. You talk about the people, you know, perilous times in the last days, lovers of themselves, this idea of being incontinent, you know, that's sexually out of line. This idea of lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. I mean, all of these kinds of things, silly women laden with sin, this misuse, if you will, of this great divine power of procreation. I mean, it's, in a way, we share with God the creative ability. And that is essential to the furtherance and continuance of God's plan. And if you can think about it, if everybody took the propensity of same-sex whatever, there would be no more children, and God's plan would be frustrated. God's plan is not going to be frustrated, by the way. He is in charge of things. But the fact of the matter is, you can see where this satanic, diabolical approach to things is trying to derail the proper use of that procreative power, and it's done in whatever means it can be done, in terms of some have weakness here and some have weakness there. But if we had a clear understanding of the direction and purpose throughout all mortality, just think for a minute. If the school system was necessary to teach sex education, how in the world, for all these thousands of years, have families been propagated? I mean, how did people figure it out without the schools emphasizing it? What's going on? And what's happened now is there's been this unrelenting kind of avalanche of sexual focus from kindergarten on. Even, in fact, in our media, as we point out, some of these cartoon characters that are doing things. It's one of those things where there's an assault on correct and noble and ennobling principles that is almost universal. We labor not against principalities. I mean, we labor against principalities and powers and spiritual wickedness in high places. These things are almost universally promoted, and we have got to refocus our own lives, our own families, and in our own churches. And it appalls me that these churches are so willing to give up God's divine plan that they're going to be complicit in destroying God's plan in the way they're doing it. I know of churches that bring leaders into youth programs that have these propensities. Young women are led by women that have lesbian propensities, and it's, oh, well, we've got to accept everybody. No, we don't. It's not, we don't give them credibility. It's kind of like when we're involved in the United Nations and UNICEF, pretty soon we're giving credibility to an organization that's seeking to overthrow the freedom of all lands, destroy the Constitution, and establish world government. Well, when you do this in your Sunday school classrooms, what's your little girl going to come away with, or your little boy? I mean, my gracious sakes alive, we got to kind of get our head out of the sand and recognize where the threats are.
Let me put this as bluntly and as succinctly and as directly as I possibly can. The question becomes, does God have a gender? And they want you to believe that no, God doesn't have a body and he doesn't have a gender, and therefore it's, you know, and the only reason it's in Genesis referred to as a male is because it was a patriarchal society. And they lead you down the primrose path of deception, ladies and gentlemen. God, our Father in heaven, in the Bible says we are his literal offspring and we are created in his image. Male and female created them. So gender is an eternal characteristic. God is a male. We have heavenly parents, a father, a heavenly father, and a heavenly mother. And what this really is, and this is why I say we cannot sit idly by without teaching the truth and boldly standing. We don't have to confront and get in their face and get all crazy, but we can stand on fundamental truths. And that is this, that God loves us and he's our heavenly father. And gender is an eternal characteristic. And let's be very, very, very clear about this. God sets the standards and the laws and the rules of his creations, not the creation. This is a God versus godless discussion. Because if you believe in God, then you believe in his gender, male and female, created he them. If you jettison God, you can think whatever you want to, but it's a godless stance. And really, that's what this comes down to. This war, are we going to support God and believe in what he has taught us? Or are we going to turn against God and say, hey, we don't believe God matters in our lives. We're going to make our own views. Will you let God prevail in your life, or will you reject God? Because you can't have it both ways. You can't say, I believe in God, but I reject all of God's revealed knowledge on the topic to his children, us. We are his children. The only children we know of have mothers and fathers. Okay, we pretend that somehow because it's God, it's different, or that somehow the rules don't apply. And then when brought up, we say, well, we can't explain the rules. We're not God. So then they get in the circular logic of deception. The truth is, it's a God-believing versus godless discussion, Dr. Bradley.
Well, you know, when the Savior spoke of his father, he spoke of as my father and your father. I mean, it was explicit, and there wasn't a... argument about definition of terms and how we look at things now. Well, they really meant, you know, whatever. And this whole thing, their words have meanings, and those meanings can be known. They are known if we'll take the time to think about them. They are not fluid. And this is the same problem we're getting in every aspect of society. Yeah, they say sexuality is fluid. Well, they say government is fluid. The Constitution is a living constitution. We can define the words in the Constitution any way we define, any way we want to, just like you define sexuality any way you want to. And when you do that, you actually lose the Constitution. You've actually set it aside and said it can mean anything or nothing, and it ends up meaning nothing. And that's the way everything is being attacked today with this fluidity concept. This is a kind of a universal threat that's all across the board. And, you know, you could talk about economics, you could talk about entertainment, you could talk about government, and, I mean, families. I mean, what's a family's definition now? They're trying to redefine everything to be more inclusive. And by so doing, they basically define it out of existence. And so, like I say, it can mean anything or nothing, and it ends up meaning nothing. And that's what we're doing with our government as we... press forward in it, and this is just one little segment. I mean, it's a huge segment, I guess I should say, and it is a giant wedge. I mean, this idea of driving a wedge into the creative power that God has delegated to his children to participate as a partner with him in bringing forth bodies that the spirits might be housed in that are given to the homes. I mean, think about how it was in times gone by. Children were a gift from God. I mean, people say, oh, no, that's not it. They wanted more workers on their farm. Baloney. Anybody that has not experienced the joy of a gift of a little tiny, sweet, precious, innocent, perfect soul into their home has really, really, I wonder if yet they have a soul themselves. And that's, we need to reinstill that in the hearts and minds of the people. Oh, no, it's just a lump of flesh. You can get rid of it. You know, oh, yeah, we can get rid of that problem. Oh, my heavens. Oh, we can put them on the altar of Moloch and sacrifice these children. We can, they're castaways. It's so amazing to me how far we have fallen in how short a period of time. It's time we got our act together, people.
There's no doubt about it, ladies and gentlemen. I'm telling you right now, God is a male. We have heavenly parents. Male and female created he us. We are his children. We are the family of God. Christian values must prevail, or the nation is done. We must encourage people through not the sword but the word to understand true principles and govern themselves. That is the solution for the greatest country on the face of the earth. It is about God, family, and country, and always will be. We're not here to fight with anybody, but we are here to stand boldly, nobly, and independently for truth, because the truth shall make us free. God save the Republic of the United States of America. Thanks, Dr. Bradley.